Hi everyone, I'm sitting in the car recording this podcast while it's a little bit drizzly outside and overlooking this amazing park that's full of jacaranda trees that are in bloom, and it's this blanket of purple and green that just stretches out and it is purely divine. And it's one of these moments where I'm reminded that all the things that I worry about and all my little anxieties and concerns, it's just really put into perspective when you recognize that right here, right now, I am safe, I am well, and I'm in a good place. I don't know if you can hear that, the rain's picked up, so I'm going to speak a little bit louder and I'm not going to stop the recording because it's really quite beautiful. And maybe that's just a sign from the universe saying, bring it on. And speaking of bringing it on, I thought I'd talk today about my own mother's, I hate to say the word journey, but I guess that's the most logical way of saying it, journey with cancer. She has been gravely, critically ill, in palliative care, in and out of consciousness. She is so thin and so weak and so small, you know, struggling to stay conscious, struggling to stay coherent, struggling to maintain conversations, struggling to figure out what's going on. She woke up and became quite panicked since she didn't understand what was going on, very confused when I would come and see her. She'd kind of ramble and say, I have so many questions, and she couldn't articulate these questions, but she had a huge weight on her mind. And I genuinely thought if she makes it through the next few days, it's a miracle. And then she made it through a week. And then she made it through a second week. And now I've just been given the heads up that she will be discharged from hospital on Monday, and considering how sick she was, it is amazing. But you know, she's done this again and again and again where I have thought there's no way she's going to survive this, and yet she does. And I guess this is a great lesson and a great metaphor for what life can do. You think, no matter how downtrodden you are, when you think you can't survive it, there is that sense that if it's not your time, you can keep going. And I have no knowledge how long she'll be on this planet. I mean, the truth of the matter is she's got cancer all through her body. You know, it is an absolute miracle that she's still alive, right? Tumors everywhere, cancer in her bones, in her back, in her stomach, in her lungs. It's, you know, her whole body is just riddled with this cancer, and yet her survival instinct is just to keep on going. And I have to admire that. I really have to sit there and go, this is something for me to embrace, because I'm one of those people who I definitely wouldn't call myself particularly resilient. And yet, I probably am more resilient than I allow myself to believe. And I don't call myself particularly strong or mentally strong. You know, I see myself as quite emotionally fragile. But again, I'm probably more emotionally stable and emotionally strong than I actually think I am. You know, I'm only coming from my perspective, and I'm comparing it against what I see of other people. But I don't live in other people's heads, and I don't live in other people's homes and in their worlds. And just because the perception I see of other people is put together and strong and capable, and even though I can put myself together, you know, I may have anxiety, but I would definitely call myself highly functional. And all of this has just taught me to, I'm going to sound really trite here and say, believe in miracles. because that's exactly what that is. It is an absolute miracle that she has survived. And we talk about, you know, Marianne Williamson, she talks about in her book, A Course in Miracles, life is an ever, like moment by moment miracle. And it's, you know, life just provides us with these moments of miracles, and every moment of life is a miracle. The fact that we survive and continue to survive and thrive, and we go up and we go down and we push through, is a miracle. And if you treat everything as a miracle, you will see gratitude and abundance and grace. You know, we have had this crazy dry few months where we've had very little rain, and yet here I am and it is pouring with rain. And what that means is that what we need right now, we all need the water, of course, but it provides us with a miracle and the blessing we need to continue with life on this planet, because water is incredibly important, as you all know. And I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I listened to this interesting interview today with this woman, and I've forgotten her name. Her name, gosh, it just escapes me. She has, she's played the role of Miss Seeley in the Broadway production of The Color Purple. This amazing singer. She's a Brit, and she's about to embark on playing Harriet Tubman. Now, let me just have a quick look and see if I can find her name, just so I can, so I know what I'm talking about. What was her name? Cynthia Ervio, and I'm sure I've butchered her name, so I'm sorry, Cynthia. But when I was listening to her interviewed, what struck me was that quiet confidence. She sounded like she knew her shit. She sounded as if the world had given her this unseen confidence, and she didn't shout it. She didn't wave it around as if to say, look at me. Very, very, very quietly, graciously, gracefully, she stood in her own power and said, this is who I am. You take me and you leave me as you will. I actually don't care how you judge me. I am confident and secure enough in my own opinion, in my own life, in my own skill, in my own ability to thrive and succeed. And all I was thinking while I was listening to her speak was, this woman is phenomenal. I know nothing about her. I'd never even heard of her before this interview. But listening to her speak, she was an example of someone who is in her full power. And I have no idea about her personal life. I have no idea about any personal struggles, any successes, any relationship breakdowns. I have no idea if she has a good relationship with her mother or her spouse, if she's married, if she has children, you know, issues with finances. Who knows if she has substance abuse issues, or she, you know, binges on alcohol or chocolate, or who knows? I have no idea. What I do know is that while I was listening to her speak, she sounded in her light. And I don't even know what that means, but when I know what it, when I think of, if I say you are standing in your own light, it means that you are so sure of your true self. And all it is, and even though I wasn't even watching her, I was just listening to her interviewed through this podcast, she was radiating pure light just in the way she articulated herself, in her quiet conviction that everything in her life is meant to be. And she was talking about dreaming big, and she said that she often meets people who just dream too small and who are afraid of their own power. And I completely put my hand up to that. I'm one of those people who really struggle with embracing my own power. part of that is because I struggle with the belief that I can do it. And if I come full circle to where I am with my mother, if there's one thing about my mother, even though we had terrible relationship for most of my adolescence and some of my childhood, like, and definitely a lot of my adult years as well, like my mother and I had a very fractured relationship for most of my life. But she was a survivor, and she continues to be a survivor, and she's tenacious, and I wouldn't say that she stands in her own light. I wouldn't say that of my mother. But she stands in her own conviction of what she knows. And even if what she believes and what she says, sometimes I deeply, deeply disagree with that. And sometimes I've heard her say things that I would say are harmful, negligent, unkind, hurtful. And she's doing it to lash out. But she's doing it because she feels that she needs to reclaim her power, and her power. She was a scary woman, I tell you what. Not so scary now, but I have to admire that. I have to admire. Last night was Halloween, and my mother-in-law made a comment about how my daughter shouldn't be holding this fake plastic knife. My daughter's only two. She was waving it around, because good girls don't play with, knives or whatever it was. And all I'm thinking to myself was, hold up, one, it's Halloween. Halloween's supposed to be scary. It's a fake plastic toy knife. I don't even understand how she got it. It was a sword from a pirate costume, I think. But the world is full of people telling girls, you got to be good, you got to be good, you got to be good. And that is bullshit. That does not build resilience, that does not build survival instinct, that does not build standing in your light, that does not build that strength that you need. And hey, I was one of those girls, and I am still one of those girls who, in my quest to keep everybody happy and to please everyone, and in my quest not to offend and not to stay out of, to stand out too bright or to, draw attention to myself too much, in my quest not to shine my light, not only do I diminish my light, but in my quest to try and keep everybody happy, I make nobody happy. And most of all, I don't keep myself happy. And criticism moves inward. And unlike my mother, whose criticism lashed outward, I've struggled with recognizing my own strength. And criticism comes for me in that constant narrative, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. And as I'm in this process of finishing up my current employment and starting this new job, I'm a little bit terrified. But that's okay, because one thing I'm also learning is that to grow, you've got to be uncomfortable. And fear, there's fear because you know that this is something that you're not sure that you can do, but you know that if you do it and you see on the other side of it, there's goodness there. And then there's fear that says danger, this is going to harm you, and you know that if you get through this, this will do nothing for you. So there's that kind of fear that says, oh my God, I can't do this. It's too scary. It's too much. I can't handle it. It's good for other people, and yay for them if they can find success. And there's that other fear that says, don't go there. That person will harm you. That person will cause you grief. That situation is dangerous. So navigating and listening to those two types of fear is really, really important. And listening, and and this is the thing as well. I've been having so much anxiety recently, especially around my mother's death, and starting this new job that I went to the GP and I got some prescription medication to help with my manage my anxiety. But the problem with this particular medication is, as good as it is, as you know, it's a band-aid solution and you end up feeling nothing. So I'm grateful that it's an option for me, and it's definitely what I would say, look, I guess an emergency pain relief as such, even though it's really not supposed to be taken like that. But the truth is that you never know what's going on unless you feel it. Your emotion, that, you know, Abraham Hicks talks about your emotional guidance system. And behind every emotion, and especially a fearful emotion, is a need that hasn't been met. So if you can identify that negative emotion and identify what that need is and see if you can meet that need. And if the fear is, I'm not good enough, I can't survive it, I don't think I can manage this, it's all too much, it might just be a case of giving it a go. And if it does get too much, it gets too much, but you gave it a go. So I think I'm going to finish up now, but leave you with this. I really hope that whatever happens to you in the next few days, in the next few weeks, that it is not fear that motivates you. It's success. And fear could be part of that. Fear could be, okay, I want success, but I've got to push through this fear. But I really hope that the week not only is gentle on you, but also embraces you and looks after you, because the universe loves us, embraces us, and wants us to do our absolute best. So have a blessed day and happy Friday.